I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Andy Larson covers the Jazz for the Great Salt Lake Trib and Salt Lake Shakers, and he's on the bench tonight. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good, brother. Hey, so I was talking about the Jazz last night on the show. You know, I think they won the game or whatever last night. They pulled away late. And I was, talking about how this is the game that they beat the Nets. I was watching it, and Mitchell had 30, and Gobert had about 18 and 15. But the thing that I was talking about is how that crowd there, now you've covered the team. They are a hostile bunch. I mean, to tell you, you go in there, you go to that building and play, you're going to have, you're going to get the business full on from their fans. They are, I mean, you have to describe it to me. What do you think of it? Because, there's been a lot of guys. Westbrook can't stand it there. He's had problems, this and that. I think they're great fans, but I think they are hostile, and they get crazy. Am I off base with this?
No, you're not. You know, that's totally kind of the rep that Vivint Arena and the Jazz have around the NBA. You know, I think it's, We talked to Nets coach Kenny Atkinson before last night's game, and he said, yeah, this is the hardest place to play in the NBA, and I think it's a couple of things, right? I mean, I think it's a fan base that doesn't have anyone else to support. You know, it's the only pro team here in Utah, and so I think there's a lot of emotion and a lot of good and bad emotion that comes out of that. I think it's a kind of uniquely constructed arena where, I don't know if you've been here before, but it's the stands are kind of more vertical than you normally get in a basketball arena, and so it kind of feels like they're on top of you, and so as a result, just everything's a little bit closer to the action, and so it, you know, you really kind of do feel the impact of the fans have on a night-to-night basis.
So I thought the Bogdanovich winner the other night against the Bucks was huge. And they are tough to play in that building, but they're flat out, they're just a really good basketball team. I think they're, you know, they're in first place in the Northwest. They've rattled off four in a row over, you know, the Nets, Warriors, and Bucks and Sixers. I think three of those teams are awesome. The Warriors now are like a high school team, which is staggeringly noticeable. Like, they're just every night getting whacked. But those other teams are all really good. And the Jazz beating them, I think it says something, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it was kind of after two kind of disappointing wins before that, and one of them against the Clippers. Obviously, that's a good team. But I think coming back to win that game against the Sixers and then, like you said, beating the Bucks on that game-winning shot, you know, I think is really impressive. And it shows kind of that the Jazz can win games in multiple ways, I thought. You know, they've got kind of the league's best defense or in that top three again this year. And then now all of a sudden they've added these offensive weapons, so you don't just have to rely on Donovan Mitchell anymore. You've got Bojan Bogdanovic, like you mentioned. You've got Mike Conley. You've got all these guys who can actually help out the offense in other ways. And so, you know, I think the Jazz have seen the fruits of that so far. Even if the offense hasn't, like, really figured it out all the way, you know, it being the first 10 games or whatever, they can kind of pull through and down the stretch in ways that they just couldn't last season.
So, Andy Larson with us from the Salt Lake Trip. Do you think you saw the Warriors Monday night and the, you know, Jazz beat them easily, 122-108 or something like that. And yeah. Gobert did whatever he wanted. He was swatting shots. He had, like, I don't know, double-double easy. So what did you think when you saw that Warriors team compared to seeing them before? Were you stunned to see how badly times have hit them?
Yeah, they look like imposters in those uniforms, right? I mean, yeah, completely. And it's one of those things where Draymond Green looks completely lost without having good players around him. You know, I thought he's a legitimate all-star in his prime, but when he doesn't have a Steph Curry or Klay Thompson to set screens for and open up things for their offense, then defensively it's just like it's a nightmare. I mean, I think they're the worst defensive team in the league. They've got all these G League guys who are trying to fit in and learn how to play, you know, professional basketball on the fly at the beginning of this regular season. Today they were down to eight players on their roster, eight healthy guys that they can play. I mean, it's just kind of a nightmare, and it's one of those things where I think it's really unusual for an NBA team to go from first to worst this quickly. But hey, that's, I guess, kind of the player movement era that we're in a little bit, and then obviously the injuries too.
So they go to Memphis Friday night against Ja Morant, who hit a game winner at the buzzer tonight on the road in Charlotte. My buddy went to that game in Charlotte. And then you go back home to Salt Lake Shakers and have a home and home, I guess, on a Monday, Wednesday with Minnesota. And they're a tough team. And then Golden State, New Orleans at home. So that's a nice little stretch, you know, despite the long trip to Memphis. That's a long trip to go to Memphis for one night and then fly all the way back, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long trip, but I think it's going to be kind of an emotional game because that's Mike Conley's return after playing 12 years in Memphis. And so you're not really sure ever how those games will turn out, you know. I think the fan base will be pretty pro-Mike Conley after, you know, what he gave them as their franchise's leading scorer. We'll see how that game turns out. But I think you're right. Like, the rest of the schedule and over the next week and a half or so are pretty winnable games. I mean, the Timberwolves have had a good start to the season, so I don't think it's wise to say, hey, the Jazz should win both of those, but probably 1-1, you know, you split at home and road on that kind of back-to-back, and then you're right, like Pelicans-Warriors back-to-back, both of those games at home, those are two easy wins that you really should chalk up at this point of the season, right?
Yeah, no doubt. So if you were to compare them, like, I love Conley's game. I think he's sick, but I thought Ricky Rubio played well there, and he's doing well in Phoenix for sure with Baines and those guys, Booker, and they've been surprising to say the least. Yeah. What do you think of Mike Conley comparing him to having Rubio?
Yeah, it's honestly just the threat of having Mike Conley, a guy who can shoot, has opened up a ton for Donovan Mitchell, for Bojan Bogdanovic, and honestly, even Rudy Gobert at the rim. I mean, that was kind of the problem during the playoffs last year, or, you know, the last 2 years when Ricky was at the point, is that when it came really down to it, you didn't have to defend him. You know, you could help off Ricky to stop Donovan from driving or whatever the situation was. And so that's the biggest difference I notice is, you know, I think both of those guys are pretty good passers. Both of those guys are pretty good decision makers. Conley's a lot smaller than Ricky Rubio is, you know, listed at 6'0" rather than 6'3" like Rubio is, but is still a pretty good defender. But just that ability that Conley can hit open shots and Ricky Rubio can't always, I think, has kind of changed how defenses guard this Jazz team.
What do you think of Spida in his development? Because he's turned into a rock star. I love the way he just wants to get to the rack.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And, like, he's been so much more efficient this year. And, you know, again, it's 11 games. But his making more of his threes, he's getting to the rim. He's getting, like you say, to the free throw line more. That's what happens when you drive to the rim. And honestly, I think his defense has gotten a lot better. You know, when he was with the World Cup team with Greg Popovich, that was kind of apparently their focus over there is, hey, we want you to be a defender, the guy who guards the opposing best player. And so he's been much better on that end of the floor. So, you know, I think there was kind of some noise last year that Donovan Mitchell was kind of a star in name only, maybe a guy that got a shoe contract too soon and those kind of things, wins the dunk contest and has the athleticism, but not really the juice behind his game. And he's turned that around so far this year. You know, he's really been kind of as good as advertised and maybe even better.
So do you think that Ingles' game is going to get better? I mean, because, like, he was like 8 to 10, and now he's like somewhere around 7. Is he going backwards? Because I kind of like his game. I don't know. It's kind of disappeared, though.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, I mean, so first of all, he is kind of at the age where you might be worried about some regression. But despite that, you know, he was put on Kyrie Irving last night as his primary defender down the stretch of the fourth quarter, and Kyrie missed 8 shots down the stretch of that game, 8 shots in a row in the fourth. So, I think clearly the shooting hasn't been there for the first 11 games, and I'm not sure if that's because he's tired after playing in the World Cup, although obviously Donovan Mitchell did too. You know, if it's he's played 82 games for the last 3.5 seasons, he's currently got the league's longest consecutive game streak. I don't know what it is. You know, his game is not like athleticism based, right? So you'd think he'd still be able to shoot and get to the rim in kind of the slow-mo Joe sort of way, but you're right. It's been a little bit. He's been off the mark so far, and so we'll see. Maybe it's the adjustment from going from the starting lineup to the bench, which is what he's done this year. But we'll see if he's able to pick it up. I personally think he'll probably be able to, and maybe it takes a couple of weeks off. Maybe it takes breaking that consecutive game streak. But he's still a good skilled player. I mean, he really led Australia, him and Patty Mills, to getting to the semifinals of that World Cup.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Andy Larson, lastly, I thought he looked good against Philly last week. He had a big game against them. And last question, real quick. I got under a minute, respectfully. Do they love Quinn Snyder? Does he like it there? Does he love it?
Yeah, he just signed that extension, and honestly, I think he's one of the top five coaches in the NBA, with so good with that defensive system that's been so elite for as long as he's been here. And then offensively, I think he runs some really creative stuff. So he likes it here. I think he's here for the long term. Obviously, he signed the contract, and it's looking good so far.
All right. Hey, Andy, great stuff tonight on the Jazz. Should be an interesting game in Memphis on Friday night. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, sir.
All right. Andy Larson from the Salt Lake Trib.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.